Thank you very much, Marcel. And Valley Church, it's good to be with you this morning. It's a great privilege. And I say to people, I have the best job in the world because I get to tell people about Jesus and I get to hear stories like Claire very often, very, very frequently. I was actually speaking to a guy 2 days ago on the phone, listening to his Alpha story, and just somebody who had experienced the life of being abused growing up as a child. His parents used to beat him with a horse crop because he didn't kind of succeed in some of the things. He failed at his swimming lessons class, and they used to beat him. And that left him becoming a very hateful, angry person. And when he left home, he did everything that he could to rebel against his parents, got into a life of drugs, and sex, and three failed marriages later, after his father committing suicide, and just absolute, you know, wreckage of a life in many ways, he found himself in an Alpha course, and God used a local church to be able to create a space for him to ask his questions, to find love and to find hope in Jesus. So I love what I do, and it's a great privilege to be with you here today. And my hope is this morning that you all individually and corporately as a church will catch a bigger vision for what God is calling you to do in terms of advancing the gospel in this part of the world and in this city, in your lives, and in your community. So before we jump in, I'm just going to pray for us this morning, and then we will get going. So please pray with me. Living God, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, that we could gather as your church, as your people, Lord. We thank you that you have given us new life, and we thank you, as Claire shared, Lord, that there is hope in you, and even when things are not as we thought they might be, Lord, that you are the God who sustains us, that you are the God who promises to be with us always. So God, as preached today, I just pray that you may give me grace. Lord, open our hearts to receive your word all for your glory and renown in Jesus' name. Amen. So, so as you can tell, I'm not originally from Canada, and I often say to people, I often throw it out there and I'll say, I'll give $100 to the person who can tell me where I'm from. And most of the time they get it wrong. They think I'm from Australia. Sorry for them. I'm actually from South Africa, and I came here about 6 years ago to study at Regent College. And I've been working for Alpha for about 5 years. And for me, my Alpha journey really started back in South Africa in my early 20s. My pastor asked me if I would like to help run Alpha, lead a bunch of young adults. And I said sure, I'd be happy to help out. So we gathered together, went through Alpha, and the group that I had, they were people from all sorts of different places in life. Some of them were sort of grew up in the church, were very nominal in their faith, didn't really have a living relationship, personal relationship with God. And we went through Alpha, and just the most remarkable things happened. We all just clicked, and we became really good friends, and some came to faith. And that group of people ended up leading a small group, a community group with them for the next 3 years. And it was amazing. And some of those people are still my best friends to this day. I'm actually going back to South Africa in February this year to marry do the ceremony for one of my friends, Craig, who is in that Alpha group, which is hugely exciting. I then went on to lead another one with a bunch of young adults as well, and there was a Hindu guy who became a Christian, and there was a girl in my group who was in a really, really tough space. She was in a broken relationship. She was living with her boyfriend. She was very unhappy in life. She wasn't a Christian, and throughout the course of Alpha, somehow God reached out to her, and she ended up breaking off the relationship, moving out. Here I was, 20-year-old guy, just trying to, you know, provide some semblance of counseling and, you know, trying to encourage her along. And she ended up coming to faith. And then there's a moment in Alpha where we do a session called Does God Heal Today? And afterwards, we have an opportunity to pray for people. And I and I was able to pray for her. And she said to me, "Steve, I've struggled to give up smoking so many times, and it's really ruling my life, and it's ruining my life." And she asked if I could just pray for that. So I prayed for it, didn't think too much of it. And that Sunday, she had started coming to church, and she ran up to me, and she said, "Steve, you will never believe what." She said, "Since you prayed for me, I've not had a craving." And so that was amazing. And I was back in South Africa in April this year, doing some work over there, and who did I run into but Louise. And Louise is now actually working for Alpha South Africa, which is amazing. And it's just great to see how God uses all these wonderful things. When I was 17, I remember being on a church camp, on a youth camp, and we had brought a bunch of people there that weren't necessarily Christian. And I remember the one night, my heart just broke in worship. God really put a burden on my heart for people who don't know him. And I remember this one girl, her name was Corinne, and she was a good friend of my sister's. I've got an older sister. And I just remember my heart was just completely broken for her to know God. And for me, that really set me on a lifelong journey of wanting to see other people experience this love, this grace, this life-transforming power that we have in Jesus. So my challenge to us today is really to think about what is the role that God is calling you to play in your life, in terms of what he wants to do through you. He's given us this beautiful life. So I want to ask you the question, what is the one single thing that is driving your life right now? What is the question that you might be asking right now? You know, does my life matter? What is my purpose? What do I do with my time, my job, my work? Does my relationship matter? Is there something deep enough, big enough, or strong enough that is holding us all together? Can our work, our hobbies, you know, maybe our love for cars, washing the dishes, sex, cleaning, paying taxes, have any really soul-satisfying unity? And I really believe that God is pushing us to have a single focus in everything we do, that no matter what we do is to bring him glory and to make him known. I don't know about you, but I see a lot of people living, but a lot of people who are not fully alive. And that is the one thing that gets me up in the morning, is that drive to see people come alive, to know their Creator, and to be known by him. So why Alpha? I really believe that Alpha is an incredible tool to engage our culture where it's at. I came to Canada, as I mentioned, to study, and Alpha asked me to come alongside of them to help re-envision it to another generation. And one of my early experiences, I found myself in a prison in Chilliwack. And no, I wasn't wearing a red overall. But I remember walking into this prison, and we were going to speak to the chaplain who was running Alpha at the time. And we met with this prison chaplain and a bunch of prisoners. And I walked into this prison, and I just had this overwhelming sense that life just stopped in this moment. And I remember thinking to myself, how on earth does a boy from South Africa end up being in a prison on the other side of the world speaking about Jesus? And I had this real moment of just thinking, you know, with God, all things are possible. And it really came from that place of just saying yes to God, of saying yes to what he wanted for my life. And so as I was asked to come on board with Alpha, I ended up seeing the incredible things that were happening through Alpha around the world. And at the time, I was learning a little bit about the whole idea of what it means to join God in what he's doing in the world. And I really believe that in our culture, when people have their experience of God might not be the most helpful one. Maybe the experience of church might be one that's boring or dry or dead. And maybe what they know of God is a story that they've learned from a friend or family member that is quite negative. So when I think, how do we best engage people today? We don't want to find ourselves telling people what to think or believe, but rather inviting them into a conversation to ask them what they think or believe. So this year, this fall, you guys are one of thousands of churches all over Canada. And in fact, this Global Alpha campaign, how many of you have seen sort of ads with Alpha and Bear Grylls around around the place, you know, popping up on Facebook and billboards and a couple of places? And I'm so excited about this because it's really the local church that has come together and say, hey, we want to start conversations of faith, life, and God. And so what's happened is that there are 60 countries all over the world that are joining together to invite people to come and explore their questions. And that's what we're going to be doing here. That's what you guys will be doing. You're just inviting people just to come and try it out, to come to that one session to try it out. So I have some friends of mine, they'd been waiting for 10 years to have a baby, and they were told that it was impossible. And one day I went to visit them, and my friend was there, and it was just written all over her face. You know, as soon as I entered the house, she just started jumping up and down and stamping her feet with joy and delight, and their wait was over. She had conceived, and she was carrying the good news of this new baby in her own body. And I really think that there is nothing more exciting than being the bearer of good news. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to tell somebody some good news and you experience the joy of their response. You know, hearing the good news in that moment brought absolute delight and joy. And I really believe that we too are the bearers of the good news. And we're reminded in the Bible that according to the Apostle Paul, you have beautiful feet. So I'm just going to begin this morning by reading from Romans 10, verses 13. If you have a Bible, you can follow along with me. It might be up on screen. It may not be. Anyway, let's dive in here. So this is what it says. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe them? And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how can anybody go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news." I was reading that the other day, and I was really struck because I felt, although Paul is talking here about the Jews and the Gentiles and really saying that, you know, salvation is for everybody. Everyone is invited. And what he's saying there is, how can people know about Jesus if they do not know about him? How can they come to faith in him if they do not know? And I think as much as people might know about God, I think what they know about God is not often the God that we encounter in the Bible. So I want to say to us, and the challenge is, how can we create a space to have conversations with people where people can learn about this true God? In Matthew 28:19-20, it says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." God has called us as disciples to make disciples. As Christians, we are called to share in the good news. As Paul warns there, you know, how can people know unless they are sent? You know, we also want to realize that at the heart of the good news is that our righteousness comes by faith. You know, it's not what we do. It's not just attending church that makes a difference, but it's everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And we want to create opportunities for God to be able to do that. I had a friend, the first time I ever ran Alpha in Canada, we did it in a little cafe in Yale Town. And we decided we wanted to run it in a neutral space where it could be accessible for people to come in. And there was a guy who came. His name was Scott. He got dragged along by his girlfriend. And it was his girlfriend's really last-ditched effort to be like, you know, she was raised a Christian, but she wasn't really, you know, practicing her faith, so to speak. And they were like, let's go check this thing out. And he really didn't want to be there. He was your typical West Coaster, raw food eating. He was very spiritual, but not religious. And it just, he just had it written all over his face that he didn't want to be there. Anyway, we became quite good friends, and we got chatting, and we seemed to be into the same sort of thing. And he had lots of questions. And so he came back the next week. And a little while later, when I was talking to him, I asked him, you know, what he thought about the first time in Alpha. And he said, well, you know, it was not bad. Like, I didn't really want to, you know, I was just like, I'm going to go once. I'm never going to come back. But yet he came back week after week. And what was amazing is that as he experienced Alpha, I began to develop a friendship with him. And soon I realized that, you know, this is great. And my friend was into rock climbing. So I was into rock climbing. So he invited me rock climbing the one day, and I was like, sure, I'd love to go. I'd never done rock climbing in my life before. But I was like, you know what? We have to go and meet people where they are at. And so I went rock climbing with him and his girlfriend and a bunch of other friends, and we just grew in friendship. And I really believe that we are all on a journey. And as I said in the Alpha promo, you know, we're all on a journey. We're all at different places. And if we just invite people into the process of exploring faith, you know, the story doesn't end in an amazing way on Alpha because he didn't become a Christian on Alpha. But what happened was that we built a friendship, and then he was a part of our community. And then he started coming to church, but church wasn't right for him. He wasn't ready for it yet. But he agreed to come to one of our life groups. So he came to life groups, and then he started reading the Bible. And then after 9 months, we had a church weekend away, and on that weekend, he came to faith. And it was this amazing moment because I realized that when we created that space for people to belong, to wrestle with their questions, to not just try, you know, force things on them, then they had the liberty. He had the liberty to take things in his own time. And in that situation, you know, no one particular person was the evangelist. It wasn't me who brought him to faith. It was our whole community who had been the vehicle for him to understand the gospel by loving him and praying for him. And that's really my hope for the church. Is I'm passionate about the local church, and one of the things that I get to do with Alpha is to engage with lots of local churches. And as Bill Hybels says, the local church is the hope of the world. And I believe if we are to be that hope of the world, we need to be reaching out in our communities, loving people where they are at, and engaging our culture, which is rapidly changing. You know, the world is full of disagreement, but thank God that our ability to love people isn't dependent on whether we agree with them or not, but rather it is dependent on the cross and the unconditional love that we have first received from God. And I think that's really important. So I have four things for us to hang on to today. And I don't know if any of you like exercising, but I think, you know, when we want to train for an event, to be good at something, I've been kind of conned into running a half marathon later in this year, and I'm way behind in my training. But I know unless I train, unless I take steps of action, that race is going to be horrible. I'm going to fail at it. So I've got four sort of action things for us to keep in mind today as we think about who of those we can invite, as we think about what it means for us as a community to engage in people with the gospel. And the first one is to listen and learn. I think in our world today, it's difficult to have conversations with people we might not agree with on things. You can only find this on social media when you see all these debates about different opinions and all the rest of it. And it's hard for us to have conversations with people who don't think the same as us. But when we listen, when we have a posture of listening to people with the intent of learning from somebody, I believe that not only are we changing the process, but I believe that people are invited into a process to learn from us. If we're not willing to listen and learn from other people, how can we expect them to listen and learn for what we have to say? Our posture to the world should be one of listening and learning. I had a friend, Raj. He came on Alpha, and because I predominantly work and live in a bit of a Christian bubble, so to speak, most of the people that I meet, a lot of the non-believers that I meet are actually on Alpha, which is wonderful, and I often become good friends with them. But one such guy, his name was Raj, and he came on Alpha. He was from a Sikh background, and he came with lots of questions. And over the weeks, he just had so many questions. He just used to ask questions week after week. And this guy was ridiculously intelligent. He was part of, I think it's called Mensa or whatever, where he's certified genius and all the rest of it. He was very proud to tell me that. And he had lots of questions about, he knew more about different religions than I did. And week after week, he just would ask questions. And I realized when I started having quite good intellectual answers for his questions, the whole idea on Alpha is really that we don't answer people's questions, but we allow others to be in a discussion and share their opinions. But I started meeting with him for coffee every now and then, and he just used to bring these questions. And then after, I could see him getting frustrated when I gave him really good answers to his questions. And then I realized that my whole approach was just, you know, I thought that I was getting to him by giving him the intellectual answers that he wanted. But I realized that it was actually not the way to his heart in many ways. I realized that it was actually just by loving him, by helping him find acceptance in a community, that was the change that was actually needed. And Raj ended up going through Alpha, and on the Alpha weekend, I said to him, you know, can I pray for you? And he said, yes, you can, but don't pray in Jesus' name. So I said, sure, you know. So I prayed for him, and, you know, I said, you know, God, may Raj know your love. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, in Jesus' name. Anyway, Raj came through Alpha, and he's a part of our community, which is great. And then he came on Alpha again. He still had questions. He still wasn't quite there. And he was just growing in his journey, and I saw God working in him. And then we came on another weekend away, and I invited him to come again, and he didn't really want to come. And he ended up coming, and I got to pray with him again. And I said, hey, listen, Raj, like, where are you at? We discussed things, and I said, can I pray for you? And this time he had no objections. So I prayed for him in Jesus' name this time. And as I was praying for him, for God's love to be upon him and to know him, I said to him, Raj, what, do you feel anything? And he said, yes, I feel love. And he's just sitting there with this big smile on his face. And I know that it was a really difficult thing for him to come to that weekend, because he struggles with social anxiety and lots of things. But just to be there, just to meet him where he was at. And I believe just that process of listening with an ear to learn from others puts us in the right posture. The next thing is to pray for conviction. And I know that sounds a bit weird, but the Apostle Paul says, Peter in the book of Acts in chapter 2 at Pentecost, the people who he was preaching to were suddenly filled with conviction. They were cut to the heart, and they said, you know, brothers, what shall we do? And I believe that we need to be praying for conviction of our friends and our family and the people that we are at work with every day, that they would come to know Jesus. Billy Graham says it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. But we have to believe that it is the Holy Spirit that convicts. And in the same way, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to come in our lives to help us think outward and look outward when it comes to seeing people that we could invite. In Romans 12, verse 11, it says, never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You know, we're not going to want to share the good news if we're not encountering it daily in our lives, if we're not realizing what God has done for us. So let us ask God to stoke the fire and the passion in our hearts for his name, so that we are able to pray for conviction for others to know God. The next thing is to love with compassion. In John John 13, 34 to 35, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus, whenever he did a miracle, the scripture often talks about how he was filled with compassion. And I believe if God is to use us in the world, we need to be filled with compassion for those who don't know God. And I feel hugely guilty about this, is because I don't often have compassion for those who don't know God. I just go on my way every day, focusing on the things that I've got to do, the things that I've got to get done. But I believe when we start asking God to fill us with a love and a compassion for those who don't know him, I believe our hearts and the orientation of our hearts will be changed. And I believe one of the best ways to do this is to invite people into our homes, into conversation, to show them love, to meet them where they're at. If that might be taking somebody at work for a coffee or going to a sports game with a friend. Often when I go around and I speak to churches, I ask people, how many of us have non-Christian friends? And it's a hard question, because a lot of us are very comfortable with just having Christian friends. But the truth is that the purpose of the church is not for ourselves. The purpose of the church is to bring light and hope and life to the world. That's what God's chosen us for. That's what he's set us apart for. And for me, one of the ways I love to do this is through hospitality, is to look out for those people who don't always fit in, to invite them around, to get a bunch of friends together and say, hey, let's host a meal and invite people so that other people can connect with people. I love what Henry Nouwen says. He says, hospitality means primarily the creation of a free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them a space where change can take place. It's not to bring men and women over to our side, but to offer freedom not disturbed by dividing lines. And I love that, and that's what we want to, that's what we get at on Alpha. Hospitality is one of our values, and I really believe if we start practicing that in our everyday lives, inviting people to Alpha will just be the next easiest thing, and they'll feel that there is continuity to it, and they will know what to experience. One of my favorite scriptures in the Gospels is Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And it's this, you'll know the story. It's the story of the four guys, the four friends that have a paralyzed friend. And they love their friend so much. They have compassion on him. And they know that they have to do everything that they can to get them to Jesus. I don't think, when I read the scripture, I don't think they thought through, like, what would happen when they get their friend to Jesus. But they know they just have to get their friend to Jesus, and that they do everything that they can for that to happen. They break the tiles off a roof and they load the man to Jesus because they can't get to him. I think in our world, the barriers for people to get to Jesus are a little bit different. It's not like tons of people are wanting to get to Jesus to find out who he is, but there are lots of barriers that are preventing people from coming to Jesus. And we need to ask God to show us those barriers and to put a passion and a desire in our hearts to get a little bit more radical and compassionate for our friends so that we're willing to take the risks required to bring them to Jesus. And what I love about that story, and I've read it so many times, but reading it again freshly this week, as I read the text, this is what it says. It says, "Some men came bringing a paralyzed man carried by the four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. By digging through it, they lowered the man down. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven." In a different translation, it says, Jesus, seeing their faith, said, "My child, your sins are forgiven." And I love that, because there is something about our faith that plays a role in other people's salvation. I don't know how that works, but it is the faith of those friends that Jesus was able to do a miracle of bringing this man from not only darkness into light, but from brokenness to wholeness in his physical body. So I want to encourage you today, church, that it is our faith that matters. It is our faith that makes a difference. When we are inviting people on Alpha to church, to all the different ways in which we have conversations, it is our faith matters and it plays a role. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. Jesus makes what seems impossible possible. We are surrounded by millions of people who are paralyzed, so to speak, living but not fully alive, broken but not whole, in need of a savior. Some recognize it, some don't. So I really believe that our faith is the thing that unlocks the doors for the king and his kingdom to enter in. Our faith is the catalyst to see the kingdom come in the world. And I think sometimes we can, you know, we think, oh, well, I don't have faith. Then I believe we need to ask God for faith. And we know that it's ultimately him that does the saving anyway. You know, it's him that can only bring people into new life. We can't do that, but he invites us to partner with him. So far we have looked at listening to learn, praying for conviction, to love with compassion, and the fourth one is to believe with confidence. When was the last time that you believed that the gospel had the power to change somebody's life? If we lived like we believed that, I believe we would see a different church. We would see a different brand of Christianity. Paul says in Romans 1:16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." It is God, it's the Holy Spirit as the one who saves, who redeems, who transforms. And Paul, when talking to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 5, he says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." I encourage you to write that scripture down and take home and meditate over it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 5. And what strikes me is that Paul was fearful, and he was not bravado and, you know, super confident in some sense in terms of what he was doing. He came to them with fear and trembling. Like, how are people going to respond? When I invite my friends to Alpha, there's a little bit of this fear and trembling that's inside of me. And we can know that it's not our wise and persuasive words. It's not our flashy new Alpha videos that changes people's lives. But it's the power of God. And I think we need to have confidence that it's the gospel that has the power to bring about new life and new transformation. When I think of the kingdom of God, I think of a place and a people where there is no suffering, where there is no pain, as described in Scripture. But one of my favorite stories of how Jesus gives a metaphor for the kingdom of God is a banquet. And the banquet that he talks about in Luke chapter 14, where there's a great wedding feast, there's a celebration of all those who are invited. And he said the master sends out the servant to invite the wedding guests, which is essentially Israel. And they say no, they turn him down. So he says, it's not good enough. He says, go out and invite the people in the streets, hiding away in the places where you wouldn't usually go, in the alleyways. So he goes out to those who don't deserve the invitation. And they come and they fill this place. And I love that picture of the kingdom of heaven because it is people gathering around a table who don't necessarily deserve to be there. And it also challenges me to rethink about sometimes I ask people and they say no. And then I think, do I give up there or do I go to the people who I might be a little bit uncomfortable inviting? I think the kingdom banquet might look a little bit different to how we might envision it. Jesus is the host of the banquet and he invites us. You know, what is our response? It's God who unequivocally saves. It's him who redeems, and we need the Holy Spirit. My pastor always says that the gospel always comes to us on the way to somebody else. And I love that because it reminds me that I am who I am because of somebody else was obedient to God in their life, in their journey. So I want to challenge us today to think about the gospel in your life. Who are we passing that on to? So in the season, as we partner with God in what he's doing through Alpha, I want us just to try put into practice those four things. Believing with confidence in the gospel, praying for conviction, loving with compassion, and listening to learn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you no matter where we are in life, Lord, with our questions. Lord, we thank you that you are always there waiting for us, ready to listen. God, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you may empower us to be your church. Lord, help us to not just think of church as a place and a building to go to, Lord, but a people that are filled with a dynamic power from on high. God, I pray for Alpha and everything that is happening in this community, Lord. I pray that you may draw people in from around this neighborhood, Lord, from the places, from the back alleys, from the people who might make us feel a little bit uncomfortable, and help us to meet people where they are at. God, we need your help. We know that we can't do this alone, so we invite you to lead the way. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you may come upon us and fill us afresh in new ways. Lord, and that you may have your way, that your glory may be made known in North Vancouver, Lord, in Lynn Valley, in this part of the world. For your glory and your renown, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Steve, for sharing with us this morning. We hope you have a great week. And we just would really covet your prayers this week as we launch Alpha. We thank you for praying along with us. And those that have committed to pray over those 10 weeks, thank you for doing that. Thank you for those that are helping in so many other ways in getting this together. And this is not, like as we said, this isn't our thing. We just want to partner with God and what God's already doing. And so thank you. We're going to be expecting some great things that are going to come as a result as we step forward in this. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the coffee. I'll be at the information table if you have any questions or anything like that. All right. Have a great week.